Talk with Pat Caputo and the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, Dan Dickerson.
This one is gone!
On Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. I think Dan could have handled that, though. He could have brought it up. Did you figure that one out there, Dan?
Absolutely. I've done it a couple times.
No, I was running. Running to get something.
How you doing, Pat?
So that my microphone would actually work. I'm doing great. And we had a terrific time at Tiger Fest on Saturday. And the optimism about the Tigers has been, I don't know, it accelerated a great deal by the Upton signing.
I was just going to say, that Upton signing, 2 days before the caravan and 4 days before Tiger Fest, there's no question it injected quite a bit of life into the reception the Tigers got out state, around town, and at Tiger Fest at the ballpark on Saturday. I don't think there's any question about it. You know, the other thing it did, Pat, I think it really fired up the players. I mean, when they're seeing an owner go above and beyond, and Mike Gillis is going above and beyond, and the players know it, to take a payroll in a market this size, look at other teams in markets this size, right in front of or right behind the Tigers, their payrolls are a lot lower. To take that payroll to almost $200 million, I think the players, I mean, you could just kind of sense that we owe this guy something, it's like, hey, this guy's doing everything he can to make us a winner. We have to get out and get it done.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have that sense. I know there's that sense every year at this time, so you don't want to get overly carried away by the optimism that you felt at Tiger Fest, but I really do think that Upton signing fired a lot of people up.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Have the Tigers gotten to the point where they can win the division? And I know, you know, last year I went over this constantly. Because the Tigers were in a decision, should they be buyers or sellers?
At the trade deadline.
Yeah, and eventually it became obvious. But to me, it was a lot later into, like, hey, they got to sell. Because I thought a lot of it was just frustration. And I realized that the year before, the World Series participants, the Giants and Royals, had been wild card teams. And the Tigers, one of the years they got in it most recently, 2006, they were also a wild card team. But it is different because you got the one game knockout. So you're not pretty much equal, just not having home field advantage anymore. You got to win that one game.
Right. It's not even, to me, it's almost like you're not even in the postseason until you win that one game.
Right, right.
I mean, really.
You really aren't.
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I was thinking last year, what if the Tigers get in as a wild card? Do they still have the champagne celebration?
Yeah.
After winning four straight division titles? We didn't have to worry about it, obviously. But, no, that's just kind of how my feeling, because it's such a crapshoot, that one game play-in.
So
really,
you got,
is what it is.
In the division, you know, a lot of people used to call it the American League Comedy Central, but I don't think it's any. It's kind of like the Comedy Central. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert—they're no longer hosting it. No longer can you say that about the American League Central. Pitching staff's, you know, pretty good. I mean, look at the Indians. Look at that starting staff. You get those guys for four days. You know, come out there with Kluber throwing that nasty slider and hard and. That Salazar kid, and just one after the other. And you look at the White Sox. That's a pretty good rotation as well. And then
look out if Carlos Rodon figures things out this year.
Right. And,
I mean, because he's that's as good a left arm as you're going to see. The walk rate's still really high, so it might be another year, but that's a golden left arm.
You know, and, of course, the Royals have the real good bullpen. Now they got the winning championship pedigree. They no longer are like, hey, you know, we fear the Tigers, that type of thing. So the Tigers are going to cut out for them when it comes down to winning the division. And I don't think people are laughing at their four straight Central Division titles anymore. And, the one thing, and I'd be interested to hear what fans think about this.
I'd love to hear what fans think, especially after the weekend and listen to Tigers players if you're at Tiger Fest, just your overall assessment of where this Tigers team is.
Because I thought one of the more interesting things of the offseason was Mike Ilitch saying about Dave Dombrowski, he didn't get it done. When if you look at Dave Dombrowski's track record, the Tigers weren't very good. Mike Ilitch was very happy with the way the organization had evolved compared to his first decade of owning the team in which it really struggled.
Yes.
And you look at it and you say, well, Dave Dombrowski didn't quite get it done. That's the reason he was fired. So that means that Mike Ilitch is thinking World Series is the only thing that's acceptable. Been a long time, 1984, many, many years ago now, more than three decades. And is this a team that can win the World Series? I think that's the question. We asked Justin Verlander that on Saturday, and I thought he provided an answer. We'll play that cut for you at some point. But we'd love to hear from you, 248-539-9797. With the Tigers for this era, which has actually been a pretty good era, two appearances in the World Series that didn't go well, but a lot of postseason victories. They've beaten the Yankees three times in the playoffs. I never thought, if you asked me that in 2000, I would have told you you were crazy. That'll never happen. They've beaten Oakland and all the Moneyball and all the talk about Billy Beane, the movie and everything, Brad Pitt being nominated for an award, Michael Lewis, you know, the whole book. You know, they've beaten them three times in the playoffs. So has it been a successful era, or does it have to have that world championship to make it a successful era? The owner clearly thinks it needs that world championship. What do you all out there as fans think?
I mean, it's interesting. The owner, I mean, Mike Ilitch, like you said, that's his standard. He wants a championship. It's very clear. And I think from a player's standpoint, you're like, okay, I mean, there's a little pressure, but he has gone above and beyond in stocking this roster with a lot of talent, and Alavila's made both trades and signings, that certainly they are in a position. Some things have to go right. And I don't think there's any question you start with the health of Cabrera, Verlander, and Victor Martinez that will determine he'll have a huge impact on where this team finishes. Is it an 85-win team, 83-win team, or is it something 90-plus? With those three healthy and productive, closer to 2014 than what we saw in 2015, or in Justin's case, 2013, this should be a 90-plus win team. But those are the biggest factors, I think, in this coming season. There are a lot of other ones, but you start with those three. And you and I had a chance to sit down with both Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera. A lot of fun. Miggy looked very relaxed. Miggy looked in great shape. We saw some of the pictures at the sponsor dinner on Friday night with him and some of the players from FC Barcelona. And Miguel Cabrera looks downright thin. The upper body's big, but the waist is thin. He's lost weight.
Yeah.
And that was a real target for him in the offseason. He wanted to lose weight. And if he's not in the best shape he's been in a long time, he's going to be going into this season. And that's not a small thing.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. What do you think? Also, you can use ticket text. That's at 97136. We do have a lot of sound from the past week, Tiger Fest, the media tour that went on. And optimism was running rampant. We had a big crowd at the beer hall when Dan and I did our annual special edition of Tiger Talk. We really enjoyed it. And the one thing, we've had Verlander and Cabrera on there in the past, but I don't ever remember those two guys being quite as, I don't know, jovial and loose and really looking forward to it. They weren't uptight at all about anything.
I think the good health is a big part of it. Two things stuck out from our conversations with those two when it comes to health. Justin saying when he was battling through after the year following the core muscle surgery repair, battling through just getting loose in between innings, to the point where if his team was rallying, scoring a bunch of runs, he said, how bad is it that I'm in the dugout thinking, please stop this rally so I can get back on the mound before too much time passes so that I'm not stiff as a board when I get back out there? I mean, he didn't like to talk about it, but clearly that was an issue all of 2014. He felt really good all of last year. And Miguel, the thing that stood out to me, went back to working with a guy who he says knows his swing the best, his cousin, Frank, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I asked his cousin's name, he said, Frank. Who knows his swing the best. And he said he had gotten into some bad habits the last couple of years because of, first, the core muscle surgery repair like Justin, and then the ankle and the calf. So he wasn't driving off that back leg like he had been in the past. And that's why I think return to health, also getting rid of the bad habits that he'd gotten into, working with his cousin or whoever knows his swing the best, I really believe that power is going to come back in a big way this year.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Use ticket text. It's at 97136. What are your thoughts on the Tigers? How do they compare to the division? Also, is the World Series or bust for this franchise? Clearly, Mike Ilitch, the owner, a lot of times owners duck this and say, hey, you know, we've done this and that, and they point to everything that they've done and not getting to the final step. He's the complete opposite of that. I'm sure that makes you all a little optimistic because he's going to do whatever it takes to win it. He's not going to stop. And how do you feel about it? Is that really a fair assessment? Because a lot of people said the window of opportunity closes and all this. And this team has had – I remember when the Tigers were terrible. We all do. For a dozen years in a row, they didn't have a winning season. We all remember the 119 loss season. Is it fair or unfair? 248-539-9797. He's Dan Dickerson, the radio play-by-play voice of the Tigers. I'm Pat Caputo, and you're listening to 97.1 The Ticket.
97.1 The Ticket. Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1 The Ticket.
It's huge. Mr. Ilitch deserves it. Detroit deserves it. These fans deserve it. We deserve it. I think it's time, man. We've worked hard.
You know, Pat and I were talking during the break, and that's Justin Verlander talking about a World Series championship and how important that is. And we're talking during the break because Pat made a good point that the owner has said, basically, it's World Series or bust. We need a world championship. And anything short of that, he didn't say it in so many words, but, I mean, he basically did say it.
He did say it. He talked about exactly. Dave Dombrowski.
Right. And you're thinking, well, that could put a lot of pressure on the players. But I think the players, there's nothing wrong with having that, okay, the owner wants this badly. And instead of just focusing on we're going to win the Central and hope for the best in the crapshoot that is the postseason, now you're focused on winning the World Series. And when you start envisioning that, and that is the ultimate goal, and that's what drives you all season long, I have no doubt that that's what drove Kansas City last year. That disappointment of winning or losing in Game 7 with a tying run 90 feet away drove Kansas City. It was led by Ned Yost, the tone he set, the players on that team, the tone they set in spring training. That drove them all season long. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I would never say a season's a failure if you don't win the world championship. I'm not the owner, though. And if that's his standard, and you can kind of see, or we saw, Pat, I thought that the players kind of bought into that. Yes, this is the goal. And we're going to do everything we can to drive, not just for a division, get back to the postseason, to win a world championship. That's always the goal, but when you're really focused on it, I think it can make a difference.
Well, the thing about Cabrera, the thing about V-Mart, the thing about Verlander, think about Ian Kinsler. Those four, for sure, it just jumps out to me that their standard, even though they made a lot of money or, they get a lot of publicity, a lot of cool things that happen for them, that really when it comes right down to it, the essence of them is ball players. I don't know. Jim always comes out there and puts it, he's a ball player. He says that. But I know exactly what he's saying, talking about Jim Price, mm-hmm. your broadcast partner, during the games. And those guys care about, they're prideful about the game, where they really do. They're very prideful. They understand their spot in the game. They want to be as high as they can, and they want to win. And they want to win a championship. It's to them, what happened last year is completely unacceptable because they would, even though they make a lot of money and got a lot of fame and everything, they would be playing for a lot less if there wasn't so much money in the game. They would be playing back in the day. They're those type of guys. Now, there are other type of ball players that really don't care. Once they get the big check, but even just a fairly reasonably big check that sets them up for life, they don't really care anymore. That clubhouse isn't like that. Even last year, as bad as it got, it never really got bad in that clubhouse that I remember. And I've been in a few clubhouses that have been really bad when you walked in, and it wasn't a good place to be. So they have that going for them. And, I think of the Pistons. They've lost some things and couldn't win, and then they did when Isaiah Thomas was there and Dumars and Lambeer and those guys. And then same thing with the Red Wings initially. A lot of disappointment. And when they finally broke through, it really, you could tell that it was an essence. I kind of get the feeling that, just from Tiger Fest. And, again, you get that. It's always optimistic,
of course you do.
Tiger Fest thing, but I get the sense that they're kind of like that right now. You really feel it. The enthusiasm is there. And the return to health of these players is huge.
Huge.
And, it could mean a lot of wins for them, a lot of wins. And you're right, if you believe in advanced metrics, and I don't know, you can talk about the merits of WAR just on its own, wins above replacement. But it wouldn't surprise me if Justin Upton does mean four more wins for him.
Right.
and that they do win the division. Wouldn't surprise me. They're a formidable opposition, but I think they got a pretty good team. And I don't see a great team in the American League, do you?
Not right now. I mean, Kansas City is a team to beat until further notice, but, you know, Texas being picked to win the West. And, I mean, each team you can pick the flaws in that team.
You see all kinds.
Boston could be really, really good, but it's David Price and four other guys right now who still, to me, have to kind of prove themselves and or step up from where they're
going. I look at the Red Sox and think they could do something. They're the Red Sox.
There are a lot of teams that could.
But I don't see where a lot of, you know, those Yankee teams when Jeter was at his best. And they had those great teams in the 90s.
That you knew Boston and New York were going to be there every year.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that feeling
really,
right now.
There isn't. So the Tigers, their chances are – there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee the Tigers anything. Fans want guarantees about things like this. A big payroll, having players, guarantees you nothing. But I'm a big believer in improving your odds. And I think with these type of players, it does improve their odds.
Absolutely does.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Greg, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Hey, good evening, Pat. Good to talk to you.
Hey.
Dan, it's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you, Greg.
Pat, you mentioned about the goal is the World Series. Of course, everybody wants to win the World Series. That is the goal. But I don't really believe it was. Is it so wrong to think that it wasn't a failure? But look what they've accomplished over those years that Dombrowski did what he did. And, yeah, I would have loved to have won the World Series every year. But, yeah. I mean, they accomplished a lot. You said they beat the Yankees three times in the playoffs. They beat Oakland three times in the playoffs. They beat some formidable teams. And I think that I don't think it was really a failure.
Well, you know, I agree.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree more with you than, you know, a lot of fans who just – we get a lot of calls and – look, I appreciate the calls and what people say. Just sometimes it seems to me like, man, that's just – they get so frustrated when they lose or, you know, whatever. They don't look at the bigger picture of how bad it was, you know, for baseball in this town for an extended period and forget where the Tigers came from. And they forget, right. You know, look at a team like the Lions, and the Lions go 6-2 to end the season. They're the greatest 6-2 team in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Where the Tigers, you know, if they don't win the World Series – oh, it's a horrible year. The Red Wings are kind of in that same standard as well, and the Pistons were for a long time when they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it wasn't good enough for them. You know?
Right, and I guess as a fan, as much as I want them to win, I guess the only one that matters is the guy that's paying their checks,
right.
Is writing their checks, and whatever he says goes. I don't have anything to say about it, but I just don't think that –
– yeah, and I think most fans agree with you, Greg, for this simple reason. When you talk about – a season after it's over and it's obviously fallen short of a World Series championship, even the Warriors have won four straight Central titles. You talk to fans, and just my experience, Pat, is they enjoyed – there are a lot of memorable moments in those seasons, and they liked the journey that got them to the postseason.
They're fun to watch.
Right. Oh, of course you want the World Series championship, but I don't think a season's a failure if you don't get it in a year in which you won. Well, 1 year they won 100 games.
Well, I remember the year in 2006 the players came out with the champagne and sprayed it on the fans after they beat the Yankees, the Maglio home run, you know, your call. It's just so iconic. I just think of all the different moments. The series against Texas that they lost, but that was one of the best series I've ever seen.
Crazy
those two
good.
Teams were, you know, going
heavyweights.
Ahead. Yeah, I mean, it really was. The same with the Red Sox.
Red Sox in 2013.
So, you know, you sit back and look at it. That was exciting baseball. Winning against Oakland in game five.
Twice.
Verlander, that one game. It's like, man, I don't think anybody could hit this guy.
Three game five wins on the road.
So there is a lot of great moments there. I'm not trying to make apologies for anything, but I remember when if the Tigers were above 500, they couldn't get above 500. So
12 straight years.
And their clubhouse was a disaster. You know, you'd walk in there and you could just feel the tension. So it's something that sometimes is overlooked. Garrett, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Pat, it's good to hear you back on the radio, and same with you, Dan. It was
nice
to see both you guys at Tiger Fest on Saturday.
Well, thank
you. A lot of fun. You had a good time there, I take it.
I did, actually, yeah. It was my first time being down there, and it was just nice kind of taking in everything. And, you know, there was a little bit of a different optimism, I think, obviously, with the Upton signing. But I will say this about this team. I think what you guys addressed earlier, where this team's going to go, and is this team for real this year? And I do think that this team, I think in years past, has always felt that, yeah, they have a chance to win a World Series, but they've gotten the postseason, and it's been okay. Last year, the fact that it just fell off the wagon so much, and then the fact that you are then reassured by your owner that, okay, we're going to want to try and win this whole thing by signing Justin Upton, it might put a little bit of a fire back in your saddle. Right. I think there's a lot of guys that are fed up with the fact that they've been talking the talk and really haven't walked the walk, if you will, in winning a title. So I think that's kind of where they're at with it, and that's kind of what I noticed on Saturday. But, Dan, I have a question for you, and I think it's a very viable question, because there's still, in my eyes, seems like there's a huge logjam out in the outfield, and now obviously with Upton up there, or Upton in left field, I mean, does this mean that Avilas could move into the infield? I mean, obviously, Sheerholtz and Mayberry are trying to fight for a spot, which obviously they won't get in spring training. But, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, right, to have this, you know, huge stockpile of outfield talent, which could, you know, really pay off well, I think.
No, Avilas is kind of that super utility guy who's an infielder. He is still best at shortstop. I do think, you know, Pat and I were talking before the show, it will be interesting to see how it shakes out with Maben and Ghost in center field, because Upton and J.D. Martinez, you can pencil them in, as long as they stay healthy, 150-plus games each. And that means playing time for either Ghost or Maben is going to be at a premium, and you wouldn't think it's going to be a strict platoon. I don't see a strict platoon in center field. And then you can't forget about Tyler Collins, who did provide some extra base power from the left side.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. What do you think? We'd love to hear from you. He's Dan Dickerson, the radio play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers. I'm Pat Caputo, and you're listening to Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket.
Talking sports and more. That's just what we do. 97.1 The Ticket. Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1 The Ticket.
You know, obviously you want to be able to ultimately help your team make it to the playoffs, and, you know, the end goal is to win a World Series. And even though I was pitching well, you know, we kind of knew that wasn't going to happen. So, you know, big picture, though, it was really nice to finish the season healthy. And all the work that I'd put in coming up to spring training, I knew that I felt good and felt healthy again. Unfortunately, I had that injury in spring training, which really set me back. But, you know, once I got it rolling again, it was fun again.
That's Justin Verlander. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Dan Dickerson's here. I'm Pat Caputo. And we're talking about great shortstops. And, you know, we're looking at it. And Dan said, well, who's the top? I said, Simmons, I thought, dropped off last year with the Braves. But I thought that you mentioned Nick Ahmed. You know, he's really good now. We mentioned that was Brandon Crawford. Right. He's a much better player now. In 2012 when the Tigers played them.
Quickly going back to our last caller, center field, it didn't really answer the question. I would say my gut is Maben's going to get the bulk of the playing time over Ghost. What's your thought? Even though they need that left-handed bat, unless Ghost just lights it up with his bat, I would think – I just get the sense that they're leaning more toward Maben in center field. I don't know if that's true or not.
I like Anthony Ghost as a player. I like him a lot as a player. I liked him when he was with Toronto. He's still relatively young, and is at one time was one of the top 30, 40 prospects right. In all of baseball. So I don't know. I would tend to think that the Tigers would be better off with Ghost developing than with Cameron Maben, who is what he is. He actually, Cameron Maben had his best year last year, than what I could tell, and it wasn't even that good.
Neither
he was a two plus. He was a two war.
No, his best years were a few years ago when he had a four war and a three war season.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been close to that in the last couple of years.
But that was – wasn't that his best year last year
No.
from what he's had in the last couple of years? You know, because I don't know. It just seemed like it was. But I'd have to go look up his numbers. I trust what you're saying. But
yeah, I mean, in terms of just the overall value, wins above replacement, he was better a few years ago. The one thing I would say, neither one graded out well in center field last year, Maben or Ghost. The eyeball test suggests both can play it very well. Maben's been better in recent years. He's been a plus. Remember what Brad Ausmus said. His center fielder is going to play deeper this coming year. And the one thing you notice when teams come into Comerica Park, the best center fielders, or when we're on the road, the best center fielders do play a fairly deep center field, starting with Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. I don't know. I tend to think that the Tigers would be better off with Ghost developing. I don't know whether that's one of those things where it's a guy's going to be a perpetual prospect until you decide he's not a regular, or whether he's going to develop. To me, Maben's what he is. And you know, unless I'm surprised or whatever, I don't think that's necessarily that great. And he is a right-handed hitter, and they need left-handed bats.
Right.
Even though they're right-handers, hit left or right-handed pitching fairly well, obviously, somebody like Cabrera and all those guys. Michael, you're on 97.1 The Ticket, Tiger Talk. What's up, buddy?
Hello. I have two questions for Dan. My first one is, you know, normally for a championship, no matter what the sport, you got to knock on the door a few times and then bust it open, you know, a couple of years later. But Kansas City, you know, they knocked on the door 1 year and won it all the next. I was wondering if you'd heard from anybody in the organization, player or otherwise, that expressed a little frustration with, like, geez, we've been knocking the door for 8 years and haven't got there, and they did it 1 year and won. My second question was, you know, traveling all around the United States, Dan, as you do, just give us a little insight into some of your favorite places you go to, maybe for the restaurants, the hotels, and the places you go for walks, or the people you see, restaurants, that kind of thing. Just tell me a little bit about the kind of fun things you might do on the road.
I'm pretty boring on the road, but I do like, there are certain cities you do like traveling to. You think of restaurants, we're eating at the ballpark. If it's a day game, we're leaving town. But I like Boston. I love going to Fenway. I like Seattle. It's always about the city and the ballpark kind of combined. Seattle, to me, has got a great ballpark. It's a great city. The Great Northwest is beautiful to me. I've taken some train ride. I did one time from Oakland up to Seattle. Minnesota, I like because I like the city, and that ballpark is one of my favorite ballparks, period, on the road. Chicago is always a good trip. U.S. Cellular Field is not one of my favorite ballparks. Wrigley looks great. We were there last year, and it still looks great. So those are some of my favorites. And you're right. You want to have those outdoor places you can get to if you want to go out for a run, walk, whatever it is. On the other side, you talk about players talk about Kansas City. All I can think of is Ian Kinsler saying for the first time, Pat, when we had him on, for the first time in a long time, he actually watched the postseason and was very impressed with Kansas City and struck by that thing they had going on last year and how they played as a team. And I don't think that's a small thing. I don't think there's any jealousy that they knocked 1 year and were the champions the next year. I think there was admiration from guys like Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, they kind of picked everybody. Somebody didn't do well, somebody else would pick them up, that type of thing. And Ian Kinsler's been on teams like that with Texas before he was here with the Tigers. So you know, I'm sure he appreciates the way they go about their business, as baseball players would say. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. Mike, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I hear the arguments about Cabrera being in the third versus the fourth hole. I just wondered if Cabrera's got something in his contract that states that he's got to be hitting in the third spot, because with the addition of Upton, I would think that the best possible solution for that lineup would be Cabrera to hit in the fourth spot. Maybe you guys could explain some of the nuances of third and fourth, because I really don't see that big a difference as far as the positive of the third. I would rather have him in the cleanup spot, Upton above it.
I think first and foremost, I think Brad Ausmus feels very strongly he wants Miguel Cabrera to bat in the first inning guaranteed every game. I think you start right there, and then he'll always point out each spot in the order gets 17 more trips to the plate on average than the spot above or below it. So that's 17 more trips to the plate for Miguel Cabrera. You're going to want that every year. He's not going to hit second, but I think they just look at third and say that is the absolute right spot for Miguel Cabrera.
He has
but he's hit third a lot more recently.
Joe Madden has done where he's hit his best hitter second for the reasons.
A lot
you're
of people say
about.
Miguel Cabrera, the best hitter, should hit second. I mean, what do we see? Schwarber, Rizzo, and Bryant all hit second for the Cubs last year. They did rotate though.
So it's the thing is, Mike, you know, you got your old school thoughts. That's your old school thoughts. You put everybody on base, and then the cleanup guy cleans up. That's what they call it. You know, the way things have kind of evolved in the game, people are looking at. If anything, he's going to be moved anywhere in the future. A guy like that who's a great hitter, he's going to be hitting second. Angels hit Mike Trout there a lot, and there's a reason for it. And somebody like Cabrera draws a lot of walks. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out a ton. He drives the ball the other way. And so if any place that he should be hitting, in my opinion, it would be second rather than fourth, just because the game's evolved to the point where people have looked at it statistically and measured it, and that would probably make the sense. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, yeah, I've been following baseball for a long time, but that it's definitely a thought that's kind of passe. They would, in my opinion, if they dropped Cabrera to fourth, I would be on the radio. I'd be criticizing Brad Ausmus for doing it for the reasons that I just mentioned. Dan brought up the point. That's the best point. That means that's 17 less at-bats a year he's going to get.
Right.
Your best hitter. So what I'd do is I'd hit Upton second. You're going to see a lot of fastballs. He's got a career on-base percentage of .352. I'd hit Cabrera third. And if I were going to hit anybody fourth other than Victor, it would be J.D. Martinez. And that's how I'd do it. And I may even consider, you know, changing that to where, you know, I would hit Kinsler one and maybe Cabrera too.
I would think Upton's going to hit both second and maybe even fifth this year. We were talking about that before the show as well, that because he's got the higher on base, maybe you put him fifth and drop J.D. to sixth sometimes, depending on the matchup.
And I, you know, I disagree with some of the thoughts. I still believe that who hits behind does matter. You know, a lot of people say that just doesn't matter. And there's been a lot of analytical studies that, you know, statistically
about protection.
About protection. You know,
I've seen it both ways. I've seen studies that have shown nothing and studies that have – it really is how you set it up, I think.
I still think
I think there is something to it, and I agree with you.
You want to have a good hitter hitting in front of him who's going to see a lot of fastballs.
A good hitter can have an effect on guys ahead of him and guys behind him.
And I don't think it matters much to Miggy because he had MVP-caliber years of Delmon Young hitting behind him. 248-539-9797.
Walk rate went up a little bit.
Yeah, certainly it did. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. It's Tiger Talk. He's Dan Dickerson. I'm Pat Caputo. 97.1 The Ticket. 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97.1 The Ticket.
When you're hurt, you're battling yourself mentally, physically, everything, and it's just such a drain, you know, and it's hard to go out there and then still compete. I mean, we're playing against the best competitors in the world, and if you lose just a little bit of an edge, man, it's huge. So to go out there and feel healthy, physically, I think allowed me to do the things that I've always been able to do mentally.
That's Justin Verlander, 248-539-9797 is the phone number. Steve, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Hey, evening, Pat. Hey, Dan. Good to hear a summer voice in the long days of January.
Hey.
It's something to look forward to. Appreciate that one for sure. Dan, I wonder if you could – I've been away out of town for when most of the acquisitions we've gotten so far. I wonder if you could comment a little bit, I guess, lack of better question, the kind of early returns on Alavila, kind of with the dusty air, so to speak, that surrounded Dombrowski the last couple of years. You know, what is it consensus that he's doing good, better, or is it just that Mr. I has opened up the books a little bit more? What do you think?
Well, I think he has opened up the books a little more. That's obvious. But I do think Al, before the Upton signing, had a very good offseason, Pat, because he'd gone out and he'd signed. First of all, I think it was very smart to target a free agent pitcher in Zimmerman and go out and get him right away at $110 million. Not exactly a bargain, but when you see Jeff Samardzija sign for $90 million, who hasn't accomplished nearly what Jordan Zimmerman has accomplished in his career, turns out to be a very good signing because the contracts, Steve, as you saw, were hot. He built a bullpen for a relative low cost. Setup men were going for $7 and $8 million a year. He got Mark Lowe 2 years for $11 million, and Mark Lowe had a very good year last year. And he traded for a guy in Justin Wilson, giving up practically nothing, who's had a good track record, cut his walks, bumped his strikeouts. He's a low walk, high strikeout guy, power arm from the left side. That's a huge arm to have in the late innings. And then trading for K-Rod. He's got 7, 8, 9th inning guys for a total of about $14 million. When last year Dave Robertson signed for, what was it, $11.5, $12 million a year, just the closer for the Chicago White Sox. I thought he did a brilliant job in that respect. The way he built it, they had a plan, they executed it, and then in the end he was just given a nice little gift from the owner saying, hey, you can go out and get one more. And so he did.
And then also I think the secondary things that we got, you know, a veteran like Saul Palamacchia.
You're getting him for the major league minimum.
And stuff like that. These little secondary pickups, too, I think have improved. You know, again, everything revolves to me around health and how guys are. But so far, I think so good, and I just want to get your take. And looking forward to spring. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Mike, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Pat and Dan, thanks for talking Tigers in January. I really appreciate it.
That's right. Warm thoughts, anyway.
Yes, absolutely. I want to hear Dan's take this year, really compared to last on the starting pitching situation. I thought that was one of the bigger weaknesses of the Tigers last year, obviously with the Verlander injury and losing Scherzer to free agency. That hurt the team. And is Zimmerman the answer to those pitching woes this year, or will we see much of the same in terms of, that weakness like last year?
Well, I think Sanchez, to me, holds the key because he had such an off year last year. It was a combination of kind of strange bad luck because he was feeling good and giving up home runs, and then I don't think he was feeling good toward the end and still giving up home runs. It went from, what, 4 home runs allowed to 29. But I think he holds the key because I do think Zimmerman's the real deal. He's a 4-WAR pitcher who's been a 4-WAR pitcher for the last 4 years, a little bit better than that, actually. You slot him in behind Justin Verlander, who finished with a 2.20 ERA his last 14 starts with a strikeout an inning, and opponents weren't doing anything against him. I really believe he's back to being that ace. And then you've got Norris and Pelfrey at the back end, and Pelfrey might be a swing guy this year. I could still see one of the youngsters maybe even slotting in that number 5 spot. Don't give up on Shane Green, who I think gives the bullpen some depth. I just think the starting rotation, I think, will be better. It has to be better. The Tigers were 15th in starters ERA, 14th in bullpen ERA, gave up 800 runs. No one else was even close to that. They've got to cut the runs allowed by at least 100 this year, and it's going to be led by the rotation. I think it will be better, but you're right. We have to see it play out.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Jerry, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Jerry?
Good evening, guys. Pat, Dan, how
are Jerry.
You?
Hi, Jerry.
Good.
You know what? You stole just a little bit of my thunder on the moment. I wanted to ask about Shane Green. He started off like a ball of fire last year, really sunk midseason, and obviously, sent down. Was there anything personally wrong with Shane Green? In the middle of the summertime, I was talking to my buddy. He'd sit in the dugout with a hoodie on, with his baseball cap over it, kind of by himself. And it almost looked like he was a loner on the team. Was there anything, Dan, that you picked up on personality-wise from Shane Green? Or
I don't think he was
just feeling the effects of the way he was pitching.
Yeah, I think it was effects of the way he was pitching. In fact, I think he probably knew deep down he wasn't healthy. And sure enough,
yes.
I mean, he was feeling numbness in his hand by midsummer. And, I mean, he's kind of a quiet guy anyway. But if you saw him over the weekend, I mean, he's got the confidence to wear that mohawk, and he's got quite the hairstyle right now. I mean, this is a likable guy. We did not see, even when he started by giving up one run in 23 innings, we did not see the swing and miss stuff that we'd seen the year before in a Yankee uniform. We did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm looking for this spring. And I think a return to good health, I have no idea if he'll get back to that. But just remember, it's in there. We saw it. He was a strikeout an inning guy. He was not getting those swings and misses even when he started strong last year.
You know, my view on that's a little different. I thought that I was surprised by his makeup in a certain way. I didn't think I thought his makeup, having played in New York, all the different situations, even things were going pretty well. There seemed to be kind of a guarded attitude. Now, I've been around a lot of ball players and stuff, and I understand it's part of what they make them really good, is the fact that they do have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder or they're a certain way. So I didn't know what to make of that, but it did seem to me like he may have gotten a little bit lost last year. Just in kind of, maybe it was injuries, maybe it was a combination of things, ineffectiveness. He had a real good year, and
but if the ball's not coming out of your hand the way it was the year before,
could be.
He lost a mile and a half off his fastball.
Yeah,
mile and a half an hour. That's not a small thing.
But I don't know. It could be a number of factors. But what he's talking about, I know it's a little bit too. That doesn't mean that it might not have been for the reasons you suggested. It could very well be. I don't know. But I do know that there seemed to be some kind of disconnect between him and last year. And I was surprised because you're talking about somebody who's very young. But he played with the Yankees. The whole media crunch is a lot less just here than it is in New York.
Just watch him this year, because I think he could be a big piece in the bullpen.
Yeah, the health could be a factor.
Really do.
And like you said, Dan, there was some plus stuff. So, and players learn. They're like everybody else. You know, they learn how to adjust in all kinds of different ways and grind through it. And you know, it's kind of like the old saying, the song, you know, the Kelly Clarkson song, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." A lot of these guys go through ups and downs. The guys who learn from the downs, you know, end up being the guys that are very resilient. And it's like their careers have nine lives. They keep going. Tiger's got one of those guys in K-Rod. How many times have people, you know, "Hey, he's not that good. He's not that good." And every year he goes out there and shows everybody how good he is.
Every year.
You know, when people were writing him off a long time ago.
They were.
Frank, you're on Tiger Talk at 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Gentlemen, good evening. How are you?
Good. Frank, how are you?
Very good. You know, you guys have been talking about pitching, and I just, with the Zimmerman signing, I'm just not sold with, you know, the five starters. Well, the four starters, and the question mark is still left to be in the fifth position. I mean, we got two veterans. We got a guy who's a veteran just being signed. And what's our third man there?
So you got Verlander, Zimmerman, Sanchez. That's your top three.
Sanchez.
I slide in Norris at four and Pelfrey at five.
I mean, I'm sorry. At the job, we call him Chuck Norris. So, because he's got that high kick. But, I mean, I like Daniel, but the other guy and, you know, our fifth spot, I'm just concerned about our pitching, man. I just, like you said, we gave up, what, 800 home runs or 800 runs?
I hope it was 800 home runs. It felt like it at times.
No, it was 800.
800
runs.
803.
803.
Nobody was above 753 to give you an idea of how they kind of lapped the field.
You know,
exactly. Now, I agree with you, Dan. I look for Shane Green to turn it around 180 degrees.
I think he's a bullpen guy, though.
Well, that's fine because we need that. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But my biggest thing is, and then also the infield. I wish in last season when Tulowitzki left and went to Toronto, I wish we had jumped on that guy. I really do. Because we'd have had a killer infield. We'd had a killer infield, and that would have helped our pitching big time. Because I knew Tulowitzki was going to leave because he was having some problems out in Colorado. But, man, I mean, I was disappointed in that move. I wish Avila had moved on that. Or at least Dombrowski had moved on that. Would have been a big acquisition for us.
Look at what he did get. I mean, the Tigers were not in a position to be a buyer, really. They weren't. Tulowitzki wouldn't have changed those fortunes.
I thought they did better at the trade deadline than I thought they were going to do because there's no compensatory picks anymore.
Right.
And getting Fulmer, getting Norris.
Fulmer, Boyd, and Norris. That's as good a threesome coming up through the ranks as the Tigers have seen in a long time.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Boyd, but there are some good components to it. I did talk to Scott, really liked him in the Eastern League, but I think Norris and Fulmer both have real high upsides, and they did a pretty good job of getting those guys. No sure thing again with them, but I was pretty impressed with Norris in a lot of ways. He just was a little off, and that command gets a little better. He's got three pitches.
I think Frank's right to focus on the rotations. We'll talk more about that next week because that's really where it all starts.
Coming up next, Inside Hockey Town, Kenny Cal, myself. Enjoyed it, Dan, as always. We'll talk to you next week on this show.
Alrighty.
We'll talk to you soon about some hockey. 97.1 The Ticket.